Joe List, explain to me what The Bicycle Men is about.
An American who was on a bike tour of France, and his bike breaks down in a small French town, and he's terrorized by the locals.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 474, The Bicycle Men.
You tell it better.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. One Friday night, my friend and I, we were going around the bend. And I said, man, this sucks. We got no place to be. So I said, let's be spontaneous. And so we simultaneously piled into our Lexus SUV.
We took it for a spin a while. We cruised around and in a while we found ourselves a fish fry in the hood.
That's right, that's right.
The folks were black exclusively, and we stuck out obtrusively.
So we sang to make our presence understood. This is what we said, the white guys are here. So let the fun begin. If you have a fish fry, make sure you get a white guy or two.
Joe List is an actor, writer, and sort of the improviser's improviser, a Second City alum who's performed on stage in Chicago, L.A., Off-Broadway, and at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. He's also written for film and television and is the co-author of The Bicycle Men, a very funny musical I first saw in Edinburgh in 2005 and which subsequently played in London and continues to play around the U.S. I recently sat down with Joe and asked him to tell me what the show's about and how it came to be.
Then we talked up the food pyramid, drank microbrewery beer amid the hostile, grateful looks they shot our way.
Then we said to him, we said, the white guys are here.
Well, I like to say, like, we used to say it was about an American who was touring in France and on a bike tour of France, and his bike breaks down in a small French town, and he's terrorized by the locals.
Okay.
Right? So, but now lately I've been trying to re-describing the show as sort of, it's a story of redemption. It's about this American who basically has no sort of belief, you know, belief in God or belief in a higher power. And then he has come through the show, through this musical comedy, he comes to believe in something. And he is redeemed at the end of the show.
Is it the redemptive power of bicycling?
Yes, it is. It's actually the bicycle is the, you know, the instrument of redemption for Steve, our main character.
Well, and it's not just bicycling. Like, you can't get the same kind of redemption on a stationary bike. You have to cover some ground, right?
Yes, you have to cover some ground, because in order for Steve to get redemption, he needed to go to the small town in France and have on a transport himself on a bicycle and have his bicycle crash in order for him to find his salvation.
Now, of course, I saw The Bicycle Men many years ago at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It was so many years ago, in fact, that Dee and I brought our two children, one of whom was a baby and slept through the entire thing. And to make it even more inappropriate, we sat in the front row. And I think thoroughly confused the rest of the audience, because it's not necessarily a family show, but it's not horribly...
It's
gross.
It is gross in some respects. I mean, I would say that to enjoy the show, you probably would not want to be laughing at a certain joke in the show and then look over and see an 11-year-old.
Yes, yes.
You know, then you'd kind of like sort of mute your response a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. So we did not help you at all on that day, and I apologize for that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because, you know, when you do the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, it's 24 shows in 26 days. So we were just basically, you know, just cranking them out. Yeah.
So he goes to this, the lead character goes to this town in France, and he meets these
would you say, wacky Frenchmen?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Extremely wacky. Yeah. The inhabitants of this, and they're a little, they're on the demented side.
Right.
He meets a demented sort of mime. Who the audience meets in the beginning of the show.
Okay.
And we really get the audience to cringe because everybody, you know, sure. Most everybody hates mimes.
Sure. Well, and for good reasons.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And
yeah.
The mime is like the MC character in Cabaret a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. He's sort of your through line through the show.
Uh-huh. Well, why does he have to, the redemptive power of bicycling, right. But is there a redemptive power to the French? Like, why does it take place in France? Why did he have to bicycle in France?
Well, because basically the creators of the show, myself, John Rabano, uh-huh. David Lumen, and Mark Nutter, mm-hmm. We kind of decided to put our show in France.
Because we all do amazingly authentic French accents?
Just amazingly. Basically, it's my fault because when I was a sophomore in high school, I went away for a month to spend with a French family.
Okay.
So I had two years of high school French, and I went to France for a month with a French family who spoke no English.
Oh,
that's fantastic. That's that's the immersion. That's the best way to learn.
It's complete immersion.
And I
still have this little tiny pocket Random House French English dictionary that was like basically my Bible,
right.
That I needed every time. As I was always saying, you know, the word for weight in French is attends. Huh? So I was always like going attends, attends, and I'm trying to find what word I wanted to say.
Well, so are these wacky characters in the Bicycle Men autobiographical? Are these people you met?
No, they're not. Not there's one character because I also went to college for culinary arts for restaurant management.
Wow!
And one of my first jobs out of college was at this hotel in Chicago, uh-huh. working for this French chef who had a lisp and a French accent.
Okay,
and I was able to cop that accent and the character, and one of those characters is in the Bicycle Man.
Okay.
So, what was the impetus to write the show? You four guys mm-hmm. wanted to write a musical, and what could it be about? Or did you have a passion for bicycling, a passion for the French? How did it come about, the writing?
Well, it all came about, so Mark Nutter kind of assembled the team.
To go back a little bit, okay. Were you involved in Wild Men? You were.
Yeah. Wild Men, right.
Mark Nutter and Tom Wolfe.
Rob Riley wrote Wild Men.
And that was back in the 90s,
yes,
I think.
That was early 90s.
Like early 90s.
92.
To capitalizing on the Iron John.
Iron John, right, with
male sensitivity movement.
Poet. What was his name?
Robert Bly.
Robert Bly. Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it played in Chicago. George Wendt was in it. It went to Off-Broadway with George.
Right. Off-Broadway. Went to West Side Arts and Off-Broadway. And it was like right about the same time that Cheers was ending.
Yes.
So we sort of drafted off of that when we got to New York.
Sure.
You know.
And our friend Bjorn Johnson was involved in that.
Bjorn Johnson. That's right.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you guys, and you're all from Second City. You're all Second City alums.
Yeah, except for Dave Lumen. But Dave, you know, he could have been at Second City. But actually, Dave chose the musical theater path.
Yeah, he's the one who actually got the musical theater, authentic, genuine musical theater chops.
Right, yes. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, there's one song in it that Dave's character sings, Steve, about being in a musical. it's a musical theater. It's called, the song is called Musical Hetero. And it's about being in a musical but being straight. He's in a musical, but he's hetero.
That's a rare breed.
Yes, it is a rare breed, yeah.
I'm in a musical, but I'm hetero. You gotta know that I'm straight. I eat all that manly stuff up with a spoon, like broads and booze. When you look at me, don't think of Tommy Tune, think Tom Cruise. Wait, bad example.
So anyway, Nutter got the team together to write the show.
Right, Nutter got the team. Originally, he and Dave were kind of writing together.
Uh-huh.
And then, but Dave and I were writing partners outside of, we were writing in television and film and... And then Dave and I had also written a couple of two-man scenes and sketches.
Uh-huh.
And so when Mark saw Sharna Halperin, who runs the Improv Olympic, They were at some TV taping, and Sharna said, "Oh yeah, you could come to the Improv Olympic. You could do a show there. I'll give you, you know, I'll give you the space."
That's great. In Chicago?
LA.
Okay.
So Nutter said, "Hey, you guys." So then he finally was like, "Going, all right, we've got a space. Now let's write a show." Mm-hmm. And she gave us like I think 50 minutes, mm-hmm. you know. And then so Nutter came, and then Nutter had written another show called Hit It, Don, with John Robano.
Okay.
And it was basically kind of like the Bunch, the Vegas guys, the Rat Pack.
Oh, the Rat Pack.
So sort of a Rat Pack musical, uh-huh. where Robano played sort of the Dean Martin character, and then they cast me as the Jerry Lewis character. And then there was another Second City actress named Jeanette Schwabe. Okay. And she was sort of the bombshell.
Right, right, right.
And then Nutter's character was like, his name was Don Hargrove, and he was sort of the sad sack composer, pianist.
Band leader, yeah.
Yeah, band leader, yeah, right. Yeah. And it was that musical. Uh-huh. So based off of that, then we also Mark brought John in. So then we had the four of us sitting in a room saying, we want to do this show. Who's passionate about anything? And then everyone looked around, and then John said, he goes, "Well, you guys know me and bicycles." Oh. He goes, "That's my passion." So John's a huge cyclist.
Okay.
So we said, okay, the show's about bicycling.
Okay.
And then I was like, going, well, bicycling is very sort of, you know, Tour de France. I mm-hmm. said, I spent time in, you know, in high school in France. And they go, okay. And Dave had been to France, and Nutter had been to France, and you know, everybody kind of has a working knowledge of the French.
That's how stupid I am. I didn't even put together the Tour de France connection of bicycling. Oh. So it makes all sense in the world for this to take place in France.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Completely. So then from there, we just started to... Nutter had some songs written. Uh-huh. He had this song about questioning God. Mm-hmm. And it was he wrote it in the form of a lullaby. Mm-hmm. So... we said, well, if it's a lullaby, it's got to be sung to a baby.
Right.
So then we put a baby in the show mm-hmm. so that Steve, the American, sings to this baby about there's no God, you know, but in the most sweetest way, you know, possible, sweetest little lullaby.
You can pray, but no one will hear. There's no God watching us below. God is the product of ignorance and fear. It's best that you know.
Et bonjour, je suis Russell Lees, scénariste à Ubisoft Montréal. Et vous écoutez le podcast Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This month of January 2016, we'll be performing The Complete History of Comedy Abridged in Marietta, Ohio and Madison, Georgia, and The Complete History of America Abridged in Hillsdale, Michigan. In March, April, and May, we'll be touring to Allentown, Pennsylvania, North Andover, Massachusetts, Schaumburg, Illinois, Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. We'll also be touring to at least one foreign country, which I hope to be able to tell you about very soon. And of course, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C. from April 21st to May 8th. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Joe Liss, the co-author of The Bicycle Men. What's been the response? Because you've played it now a lot of different places, both in this country and in other countries.
Right.
And has there been a country that's responded to it differently? Have you played it in France?
No, we'd love to play it in France.
Yeah, yeah.
France, you know, the Netherlands, you know. No, we did it, Edinburgh, we had good, great response, and we also had the, of course, a great Scottish response. And there was a guy who sat through the show, a Scotsman who sat through the show, and then finally, just before the show was over, he got up and he said, "This is shite," and walked out.
Oh, no.
It was like, hey, it's too late, man. We already got your money.
You're right.
And you already watched most of the show. He didn't even stick around for the redemption. He didn't stick around for it.
He missed the goddamn...
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine the Brits would love all the French jokes.
Oh, the Brits, they fell out for the show. I mean, we did the show in... I'm going to say 6 years ago, 7 years ago in London at the King's Head.
Yeah.
Pub theater.
Oh, great.
And we did a little Q&A with an audience one time after the show, and they were just like, they loved it. And they said that, they go, normally, you know, the British, we feel like we're the only ones who can truly make fun of the French properly. But this show equals it. So that was like, that was like such a tribute to us.
That's high praise.
High praise.
That's
praise for the show.
Well, and as we've said in one of our songs in our Complete Millennium Musical Abridged, everyone hates the French.
Yeah, you're right. You know? Everybody hates the French. And when there's a time, when that window opens, you know, like 9/11, boom, yeah, boom. Freedom fries. Yeah. We hate the French.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And speaking of our musical, Millennium Musical, and now yours, were you ever a musical theater guy? I mean, did this satisfy an itch that you had to? Oh my God, I get to do a musical?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, because you know, when you're in theater, it's like because I've done it all. You know, you grow up in high school, you know,
sure.
And it's like you got two shows. There's the play in the fall.
Right.
There's the musical in the spring.
Yeah.
And if you like to do theater, you're gonna do both.
You're gonna do both.
Yeah.
And you had done a lot. Well, you've done a ton of theater. You just did Twist Your Dickens a year ago for Second City.
Right. Down in Culver City.
And you've done a ton of film and television, and you're continuing to improvise.
Right. I've returned to kind of my improv roots because I was mostly back in L.A. with Lumen. We were like a writing team, so we were writing, you know.
Cool.
And just improvising very little.
Yeah.
You know, maybe once a month with the Bucket of Snakes out in Culver City.
Do you have a favorite thing that you do? Writing, improvising, acting?
I like to do characters, like character monologues on stage. I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, in fact, you brought to Edinburgh the Joe Show.
Right. And that's where I first met Mr. Austin Titcher.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is that really? Is that where we met? We didn't meet in Chicago.
No.
Wow.
We met. It was your child is just born, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. Quincy
it
was
96.
Yeah. Right.
97.
That's right. Yeah. And I was just like basically like a deer in the headlights because I was like, oh, what? I have to do what? I've got to go out every day and push my show? Mean there's not an instant audience? Wake up.
Oh, I know. Well, we get so spoiled the Second City folks get so spoiled in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, completely, yeah. Because, you know, Second City being the mecca, it's like you never had to go out and push the show.
Well, and you were ahead of D at Second City. Who were the people that you performed with at Second City?
I perform with Bonnie Hunt and Chris Farley and Mike Myers and who else? Oh, did I perform with Aaron Freeman, Barb Wallace, and Kevin Crawley?
Okay,
and
so that era.
Jeff Michalski, Jane Morris in the back, and Officer Kevin Doyle, who's now one guy, Kevin Doyle, who became a policeman after his Second City. Yeah.
This is great. I loved improv so much, I'm going to become a cop.
You're right. I'm going to yes and you right into the squad car, sir.
are you guys and Nutter and Dave Lumen working on a new thing now?
No, we're not. We kind of Dave got married and likes to be an old married man, so he's living in LA. Is still down. I think he's working on a Nickelodeon show.
Okay.
And he's also doing some writing.
Okay.
Doing like book writing. He writes young adult.
That's right.
He wrote some kids' books. Not some. He wrote quite a bit. Go to Amazon, man. Right. Dave is a prolific children's book writer.
Yeah.
And Nutter is in New York doing some composing. I think he's writing on another musical. And then he also writes this thing called the Christmas Smackdown. With this Cynthia Carl, another singer-songwriter from L.A.
Okay.
And they do this Christmas Smackdown, which is basically kind of like a Christmas sketch show.
Right.
Or actually, it's a Christmas variety show. What am I saying? You know, Emo Phillips shows up. He'll do a little stand-up. They get like some four-part harmony singers from Pasadena.
Cool.
It's great. It's a great thing.
And you're still performing the Bicycle Men places around the country.
Yeah. We actually resurrected it because Rabano and I said, man, this show is too funny. And we love performing it too much for it to die.
Yeah.
So the show took like a 5-year hiatus, and then John and I resurrected it. We recast Lumen's parts and Nutter's parts, and now we've since been just put on the road, and whoever will you know, put us up. We independently produce. We'll co-produce with somebody. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, all right. Well, and I'm sure now that with this podcast, you're going to get huge bookings.
Yes. It's Bicycle Men. It's thebicyclemen.com.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite comic stereotypes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, road warrior Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and, of course, this week by Mark Nutter, who wrote the great Bicycle Men song. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Kenzie Horn. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to playwright Russell Lees, the author of Nixon's Nixon. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tischner, 474, 1420 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, I think the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast bump is ginormous.
You guys, come on!
Come on,
that's you're an establishment. We're going to draft off of that.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.